Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, on January 16th, 2000, I started my own social network, and that was a long time ago. We don't have nearly as many of the fantastic technological tools in place. We didn't have as many of them in place back then as we do now. But you know what? Social networking has only become hotter since then. And social networking is not only hot and fun, I think, but it's also an integral part of any business that seeks to be successful in this day and age. And today we are going to be talking about that very topic with our guest, Angela Crocker. She is the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network. Create a successful online community for your business or organization. Let me tell you a little bit about Angela. She specializes in social media coaching, marketing strategy, and planning for arts organizations and small businesses, and she is a fantastic resource. This book has been researched up one side and down the other, and Angela offers some wonderful tips, wonderful insights into how to not only start a social network of your own, but also manage and maintain it. Because, right, anybody can start anything. Managing, maintaining, and growing is the key. We're going to be talking with her about all that today on this show. Welcome, Angela Crocker.
Thank you so much, Donna Marie. I'm thrilled to be with you.
So, Angela, tell us, what got you involved in social networking? Why is this something that interest you? Did you start out doing it for your business? Give us the backstory here.
Well, I'm one of the original internet geeks, quite honestly. I studied communications at Simon Fraser University here in Western Canada. And we had email back when nobody had email, and it just sort of carried on along the years. I would play with Yahoo groups and bulletin boards, and then suddenly this thing called Facebook popped up. And I've always been about helping people build communities, whether that's face-to-face. Like, I'm the queen of networking at a cocktail reception. If you want to meet somebody, ask me if I know them. I'll make sure you meet that person. And to me, this is just a great way to continue that legacy online. And so I've been always actively doing it. And suddenly, about 3 years ago, I realized that there was the potential to make this into a business. And I just had such an amazing, amazing time launching Beachcomber Communications and ultimately writing the book and getting to talk to lots of great folks, including yourself.
Well, you know, it's clear that this is very interesting to you. You called yourself one of the original geeks. So you must really, really like this. Let's talk for a second, Angela, to the people who either don't really, really like it like you and I do, or they just really don't know that much about it. But they have a business, Angela. They have a business. Tell us why it's important for any business owner to seriously consider creating a social network of their own.
Well, the first thing any business owner needs to do is to take their personal feelings about social network and park them in the living room at home. What we do personally online is very different from what we need to do professionally online. In any business that is interacting with consumers, with clients, with other businesses, who wants to keep up to date on what's happening in their industry, I really think has to be part of social networking, however they choose to do that. And it can be as simple as being part of Facebook or as complex as having your own social network that you manage and all the wonderful things that go with that. But it's really key for keeping in touch with what's going on. It's important for reaching out for the strategic alliances that you might do. And a lot of media outlets are now looking for that kind of support. Do you have a social audience as in addition to the traditional broadcast audience of radio or television in the over-the-air sense, not the digital sense? And so build your business. It's such a great free, mostly free, marketing tool that you can use to complement all the other marketing efforts that you're putting in. And why not make it easy for your customers to work with you? There's no way to get around that. You've got to make life easy for your customers because they're not going to work with you because there's somebody else making it easy down the road.
I love that you're asking that question because so often as small business owners, and rightfully so to some extent, you know, there's limited hours in the day and we're only, you know, in small business, you know, with 5 employees or less and maybe some contractors. But we tend to focus on this question, and I know you've heard it before. I don't have time. And yeah, I just don't have time. And you just said, why not make it easy for your customers, right? Because it's not about us if we're serving customers. It's about them.
Absolutely. And I think people get hung up on the idea that social networking is going to take a lot of time. It's a communication tool. It's going to shift the way people communicate with your business. And I, you know, I'm old enough. I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to remember when we used to send out faxes and have to actually wait for the post to go and do things. But now we can have this immediate communication so that the consumer can reach the information they want without necessarily having to call. It's not that we don't want them to call, but when they pick up the phone, I'd much rather they were calling me for a level 2 or level 3 discussion rather than taking the time for me or anybody on my team to answer the 101 questions over and over again. And it's not that you won't, but so many people want to show, you know, business owners, honestly, I don't know any business owner who does 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. We're all in different time zones. We're all busy. I'm a parent. I'm sure some of your listeners are parents. You got this constant juggle, and if something gets done at 9 p.m., that's when it gets done.
Mm-hmm.
Communication online is 24 hours a day. So if you have the common answers, common information, it makes it a lot easier for people to take those first couple of steps, and then they'll make time to call you during office hours.
And that's so true, Angela. And remind everyone that just because our communication is 24/7, it doesn't mean that we don't get any sleep. It doesn't mean that we are active, you know, with our noses knee-deep in our businesses 24/7, right? With technology,
oh, goodness,
the things
no,
that are discussed in your book, we don't have to be there physically, but we're there.
Exactly. We have a presence. We have, and we check in regularly, but any business owner who's using these tools knows you actually get a better balance of running your business and actually staying on top of your marketing because you can do a lot of this kind of online social networking in what I call sound minutes. Quite honestly, I shop at my local Safeway, and the lineups are horrendous some days. But if I've got a cart full of groceries, I'm going to wait in that line. If I have my iPhone or my iPad with me, I can connect to their Wi-Fi and use those 10, 15, 20 minutes to actually be productive at a time when I'm away from my family anyway and haven't got anything better to do except maybe chat with the ladies and gentlemen in line with me.
Now, Angela, let's talk for a second about specific types of businesses. I know in my business, for example, it's called the Indie Beauty Network. My business is a network of small business owners. So social networking was obviously a really natural part of what I started actually in 2000, which is, you know, a long, long time ago. But still back then, as you, I sensed this need to create networks. And so I have used technology as it has grown and added to the basic network that I started in 2000. But let's talk for a second, Angela, to people whose business is not a network. Their business is, as you know, in our audience, they sell handmade products. They sell artisan crafted products, jewelry makers, soap makers, candle makers, Angela. Their business is not a business of a network. Why is it important for people in those positions to create social networks of their own?
Well, what they need to consider is having a platform to showcase. A lot of the examples you've just given us are artisan examples where there's one-of-a-kinds or limited editions or customizable options. When you see some jewelry that you love but it's been done with red stones and you'd rather have it with blue, you can showcase your work through a social network, allow people to be fans of your work, because if you're just selling at craft shows or trade fairs or local markets, whatever that is in any given community, even through local retailers, the only audience you have are the people who visit those locations, which isn't all the potential traffic. But by creating a social network, you create a place where people can browse by at their convenience, see and celebrate your work, talk joyfully about your work, advocate for your work, even if they only purchase the occasional piece from you. And it's those repeat customers who are engaging with you in between sales. This is one of the real beauties of social networking, is that they may make an initial purchase and the packaging on whatever it is you sold them mentions your social network, whether it's one you've created yourself or a piece of another network like Twitter or Facebook that you're using. They then engage with you on those. They follow you. They join your community, whatever that looks like. and they have some ongoing interaction with you and your work. And it's not all about your work. I think this is a crucial piece. Anyone who is a micro entrepreneur or a small business owner, they are their brand. There's this wonderful thing that happens, and you do it beautifully with the Indie Business Facebook page and on your blog. It's partly about Donna Maria.
Mm-hmm.
It's my blog, similarly, is partly about Angela.
Mm-hmm.
It's for people beyond the professional world that we work in. And so,
I love what you said, and I'm repeating this in my mind, Angela, because it sounds so wonderful. See and celebrate. I mean, all of you listeners, you know, when you make your products, close your eyes as you listen to Angela and think about the goal of having your audience, your customers, your prospects, and their friends see and celebrate your work. That is what we want as artisans. That's what we want as small business owners. That's the key that opens the door, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's keeping people, giving people a chance to stay in touch with your work on an ongoing basis. Because they may only step out to the farmer's market in the summertime, or they may only go to, we have some wonderful little like alleyways with gifty type shops that honestly, I only get there at the holiday season in December. And I have good intentions, but I just don't. So if
mm-hmm.
I can keep in touch throughout the year and see that and be excited about what's happening. And I have a number of artists locally that I love to support, and they're wonderful, wonderful, mostly women, which I find interesting. There's something
mm-hmm.
about networking that women do really, really well.
Fabulous. Interesting and fabulous.
Yes.
Love
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yes.
No, it's good. It's good. I think it's great because I think women are social creatures. We are more inclined, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to get into trouble because I'm making a grand generalization around gender politics, but
mm-hmm.
I think women have an art for conversation that we talk to anybody and everybody, wherever we meet them.
I 100% agree, Angela, and we are just hot. Women are hot in business today. Politics aside, I think it's fabulous, and I love it, and I love that you and I agree on the excitement that is inherent in that. Without putting anybody else down, we are fabulous, and I think it's just wonderful to be able to see and celebrate that together as communities, online and off. So, Angela, let's roll up our sleeves here and let's talk to people about what to do next. Okay, you've talked about see and celebrate, and we agree with that. What on earth do I do next? Because, Angela, let's face it, there are not only a million social networking options, but your book, Creating a Social Network, which is fantastic, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network, is one of many. Where do we start? I think some people just get overwhelmed at the thought of what to do next. Help
yes.
us out on that.
Yes. When I wrote the book, I created an entire section of the book called Shopping for a Social Network Service, and it's there to guide you through exactly that. Because there are many different options. There are ways to create your own social network that cost you very few dollars, if not no dollars. But there's some compromises that you make with that. And I work you through different services that can cost you more money, but give you more customization options, give you a chance to put your own brand. Quite honestly, I have a real favorite, and you're not supposed to play favorites, and I feel like the networks I talk about in the book are my children. And my favorite one at the moment is BuddyPress, which is a WordPress plugin. So if you have a WordPress website, you can add the BuddyPress plugin and begin to create your own community on your WordPress website. It's a very simple, almost no-cost way to do it. And having all of these different services, you have to kind of decide what you want to do. Is spending a little money important to you, or is spending no money your priority? Is it that you want to have your brand out there, or is it that you're okay with something that looks a bit generic, but you want to have the sense of community that comes from that generic look doesn't matter to you because it's about the energy and vibrancy of what people are saying. So it's all about give and take. And I talk in the book about six particular network services. I talk about Ning, Wall.fm, SocialGo, my favorite BuddyPress, and also KickApps and OneSite. They are not the only services that will allow you to create your own network, but they're the six that I chose to focus on in the book. And we're already seeing some new ones coming out, things like Diaspora, and we'll see what that looks like in the future. But if you're a business owner listening right now and you want to think about joining a network, really want to encourage you to think about what your objectives are. And by learning what your objectives are, then you'll get to make some decisions about what network service you want to shop for and how customized it needs to be, how much you want to invest or how much you can invest.
Excellent points. Excellent points. And I love that you pointed out too, Angela, that there are there are lots of options, and so we want to try not to get bogged down in those options. We want to be able to first, as you say, establish our core objective. So let's help people do that, since that's such a big part of this. And I think that once you know what you're trying to accomplish, when you open up the door to look at these 6 or 8 or 10 options that you have, you'll be able to quickly eliminate some of them and identify maybe the top three that you can use for your business once you know exactly what you're trying to do. So, Angela, what things should small and independent business owners be looking for when it comes to what they're trying to do? And I know this will vary business by business, but, you know, big picture, obviously we want to get sales, so let's just skip that. What are some of the other things that we can look at and identify as goals for a small business to help people see and celebrate?
Of course. Well, here's some examples. Let's look at influencing. Is your desire to, in your business, are you in the process of trying to influence someone to take a particular kind of action? Are you interested in environmentally conscious consumer actions? Are you trying to influence people to act based on their eco-friendly, you know, self mask, whatever level of eco-shopping they choose to do? The influence that you can have can be your primary objective. You're presenting case studies, you're presenting examples, you're looking at research, all is a very informative hub of a social network where people can then form their own opinions, and it happens most likely that your product is in line with what those reports and influential documents are doing. Another example would be if you are wanting to educate people. Sometimes products come out and people don't know why they're important. Mm-hmm. I did some work with a company here in Vancouver that specializes in fall prevention products for seniors. So if you have an elder in your family, you may not realize that they are at more risk to slip in the shower. They may need a grab bar to get out of bed. They might need a special cover on their seat to get in and out of the car more comfortably. That's an opportunity for that company or any others to really educate people about why the products are needed, why that service is essential for the quality of life of the grandparents or elders of whatever sort in your life. So that education option is a great one. There's also sometimes the objective can be around fun. It sounds so simple. But for some brands, they are playful, and a lot of the artisans that you're talking about who are your members, they've probably got a creative vision for our world. And it's fun and playful, aesthetically pleasing, it's calming, it's soothing, whatever that might be. And playing into that sense of fun, that sense of living life, maybe that's your objective. And so you can think about your business, whether it's in terms of those three quick examples or something broader that you're trying to do. And like I consider myself to be on a mission to help people do social networking better. So what's your mission? Ask yourself that question, and that should help you figure out the objective of why you would create a network.
Oh, such really, really super good advice. And you know, Angela, I'm so glad that you mentioned my members and their creativity and their fun. Because I think so many small business owners underestimate the value of how fun they are, how colorful they are. When you make your own candles, when you make your own soaps, you have built-in entertainment, right? Because you can show people how it's done. You've got colors flying all over the place. You know, and as interesting as social networking is, you know, the videos are kind of screencasts, right? So let's remind our artisans of how much of an advantage they have that they can leverage simply because what they do is so interesting.
Absolutely. And creative people tend to draw other creative people. And I think there's a great opportunity for cross-promotion between creative minds. If one has a social network and, you know, say you're an artisan who has a glass-blowing studio and somebody else stops by who's a jewelry maker, there's nothing exactly to do with your particular craft. But you have an aesthetic and understanding of the creative process, and you can have dialogue about that. Your audience wants a peek into what that dialogue is. They want to hear two thoughtful, informed minds and sharing their experience. And there's such great opportunities for putting that creativity out there. And I think all of us, and not just creative business owners, but every individual has a sense of creativity that comes from our kindergarten years, and we want to be part of this creative process. And some of us are not blessed with, you know, I'm really good at stick figures now, but that's about it. But I love being around creative people who do more, and a social network is a great way to share that.
It is, and I get so excited when I think about it, because we do have this ability to use technology. And as you said earlier, it's free or very low cost. And I think the cost comes in, as you probably agree from training and mentoring so many people, it does come in when it comes in terms of the time. So let's talk for a second, Angela, about how to be efficient. What are some of the things that you can share with our audience today, our listeners, about doing it well, but also doing it efficiently?
Well, the first thing I would advise is to set aside a little bit of time, five days a week, maybe four, maybe six, but we'll say 5 days a week. Because you don't want to do all of your social networking, your online promotion in one afternoon each week. It's an ongoing dialogue that happens all day long for your audience, and so you want to check in regularly. You want to be part of your community on a daily or almost daily basis. And when you do go to check in, I always advise the following strategy for whatever time that you have available. And for most businesses, when you first start out, it's only a few minutes. It's 5 or 10 minutes each of those days. I find that most solo entrepreneurs or small business entrepreneurs, whether they're doing craft products or creative services or other kinds of services, max out at about an hour. So if you're spending any more than an hour a day, you just sort of revisit how efficient you're being with your time. But here's my priority sequence for that time, up to an hour. First of all, you want to go in and have a look and see who's talking to you, who has left a comment on your post, who has tweeted you, who has made a mention of you on Facebook or on your own social network, who is celebrating your work, because you want to respond. That's a crucial piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Next, you want to take a moment and share some content, something you're broadcasting that you find interesting or supports your business or is about a product you're launching or the industry you're in, whatever that is. So you share some content. That's your second priority. Your third priority is to spend time reading the news stream of what else is going on around you, because social networking is not just about spending time thinking about your own business and how you're promoting yourself and what you have to say and what people are saying to you. Being part of a social network is stepping outside of yourself and being aware of the bigger picture, knowing what else is happening, knowing who else is having a conversation. And you can do that by commenting on other people's blogs, by visiting other communities that you can sincerely be part of. You don't just jump in and promote yourself and other people's networks. That's not what I'm advising. But if you have a natural connection, you want to drop in, visit those communities, read some of the blogs, the news feeds, the status updates, tweets. You know, look for other like-minded people because they're out there, and you never know how you can help them or how they can help you. So that's my three-prong approach. Look for people talking to you and respond first. Broadcast some content second, and third, jump in and read the broader world.
And let's talk for a second about the importance of content. I know, you know, since time immemorial, even back in 2000, I remember content is king, content is king. I'm really tired of hearing that. Although to some extent, I believe that content is such an important part of marketing a business. But Angela, it's not new. And I think a lot of people think that, oh, content is king, it's a new thing, and now I have to learn it. It's really not new at all. It's only the technology that's changed.
Absolutely.
So can you give us some tips about creating the type of information, if you don't like the word content, information, ideas, anything that you want to call it. Can you share some tips with us for pursuing step number two that you just mentioned, sharing content?
Sure. Well, the first thing I would ask you to do is think of content in two parts. Part of the content you're creating is It is original content generated by you. The other kind of content to consider is curated content or referenced content. It's content that's created by someone else that you found interesting enough to share with your audience. And depending on the social network, it's going to be a blend. It might be 20% stuff that's original to you and 80% other people's content. It depends on your business and service model. If you're a creative entrepreneur with lots of beautiful things to show and tell, then obviously the original content is going to go up and it will be a higher percentage. So the next thing to do is to not think of content as something you have to sit down and do. It's not like you're going to sit down and, okay, this is my 5 minutes to make content. Because honestly, you make the most boring content on the planet.
Yes, indeed.
Instead, what I want you to think about is think of content as just the opposite of sharing. What you're doing is looking for opportunities to share throughout your everyday. What are you seeing? What sparks your interest? What is it that caught your attention that you can talk about? Honestly, smartphones with cameras are the best thing because as I'm going through my day, probably every day I come home with 8 or 10 ideas for content that I've just taken a quick snapshot with my iPhone so that I can remember or have that thought starter again. And then when I sit down to write on the blog or write something on Facebook or in my community, then there's an opportunity to spark that there. And I think taking some of the pressure off content, quite honestly, content does not have to be an essay or an epic piece of content every time. It can be a photo with a couple sentences of thought. It can be a brief paragraph with an inspired idea. It can be a question. Questions are a great kind of content. If there's something mm-hmm. you're curious mm-hmm. about, then ask your audience. Well, I hope that helps move it forward a little bit.
That is fantastic, all these tips, you know, and I love that you're pointing out that for small and independent business owners, sometimes it's not about making it up. Well, most of the time it's not about making it up. I often share with people, you know, your content is your business. What did you make today? Where did you go today? What craft show did you do today? What networking group meeting did you go to? What chamber of commerce group did you go to? Tons of content just by living your life, and I love that you mentioned that about how important that smartphone can be. So excellent tips from Angela Crocker, author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network. Create a successful online community for your business or organization. You guys need to get this book, okay? Just put it in no uncertain terms. There are tons of tips in here, and even if you decide not to create your own online community, it will help you interact at other people's online communities, so you can even create your own mini community inside someone else's community if you just don't feel like you're ready to bite off your own right now. And you can use that for the rest of your business, or you can learn enough so that you'll ultimately be able to create your own. Angela, this is important stuff. Thank you so much for sharing. Now tell us where we go online to get more information about you and buy this book.
Well, thank you very much, Donna Maria, for having me. I'm thrilled to have been part of the show today. And people can find me online at beachcombercommunications.com. I do a regular newsletter called the Social Media Minute, which is always a tip, trick, or tidbit of some kind that you can use. If you'd rather, you can also find me on Twitter. My at name is Angela Crocker, so twitter.com/AngelaCrocker, or on Facebook at facebook.com/beachcombercommunications. Feel free to shout out, say hello, let me know you heard me here. I'd love to connect.
And I am connecting with you at nearly all of those places, so good on me. You
Yay.
Guys, get out there. Angela Crocker on Twitter, if you want to connect with her there. Also, make sure you find Beachcomber Communications. You can listen to the podcast and get the information you need, or you can always Google Beachcomber and Angela Crocker, and she will be right there at the top of the organic search results, because she's so great at social networking, to tell you all about where you can find her and where you can get this fantastic book. Angela, thank you for joining us. You guys, I'm so glad you were here. This was such an energizing show, and I'm happy that you were here to share it with me. I'll see you next week right here on Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.